I'm going to ask you to please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the passage that we were looking at last week also. We have been looking at some of the final admonitions of the Apostle Paul to this church, kind of like an old gunny sergeant talking to his men prior to going out to battle. And in fact, that's what the Christian life is, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's a physical battle, but it is certainly a spiritual battle. And we've been looking at the admonition specifically in two verses right now, verses 13 and 14, where Paul admonishes the Corinthian church. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." In those verses, he gives us five admonitions. Of course, there's a lot more admonitions in the Word of God, but there he specifically gives us five admonitions to help us with the influence and pressure from our culture. Our culture wants us to conform to it. Yeah. Our culture wants you to be like it. It doesn't want you to have any distinction from them. And so the pressure is always on to be like them. The Corinthians actually caved in all of these areas. And what Paul is trying to do here, as he was through the entire book, is to correct the way that they think. And folks, that's probably one of the most important things that preaching does also, is to correct the way that we think about these things. Because their thinking and your thinking determines how you behave. How you think is how you're going to behave. So if their thinking was unbiblical, then their behavior was going to be unbiblical. And folks, that's why it's so important for God's people to think biblically. That's why we have times like this, of course, to worship God, to magnify Him, but to instruct the saints in how we ought to live. That's why we had Sunday school. And by the way, we had a great Sunday school class today. And it was a really blessed time. I appreciate everybody that was here for that. But we have Sunday school. We have evening services, Wednesday services. And on our Wednesday nights, you know, we have ministry to the children. We have discipleship ministry for people. And then we have the preaching of the Word of God. All of that to try to help us in knowing the Word of God. But our culture promotes things that are not only unbiblical, folks, but they have a natural appeal to our flesh. That's the enemy within us, isn't it? That wants to do the things of the world. And you know what that that creates in every believer's life? There is a constant tension in our lives within our very being, because our flesh is pulling one way. The Spirit of God is pulling another way, and we deal with that. Obviously, the Spirit of God pulls us to what kind of thinking? Biblical thinking. Our flesh pulls us toward worldly thinking. And many times, the thinking of the culture actually makes sense to our flesh. Right? We hear it and our flesh says, yeah, that sounds pretty natural. And if we're not careful, we might determine that something is right because it feels right. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Why are you doing that? Well, it just feels right. Well, that's not really a good standard to live by. But what happens oftentimes is when we do things because we think they feel right, we find ourselves gathering all kinds of sin into our lives. But when you determine something is right that might not be right, you also go into the mode where you try to gain evidence for your side. You try to gain or gather people around you that might think the same way, that might have the same kind of behavior. For instance, imagine this. Maybe those of you that are living with your moms and dads, your mom and dad says, you can't have pink hair. And they believe that for you to do that would be promoting yourself. It would be uplifting yourself as well as maybe associating with a rebellious movement of just wanting to be different, to be different from other people and to assert your will against authority. but you maybe don't see it that way. And so when you go to the store, or if you happen to be watching TV, or you're at school or at work, or you're looking at things on the internet, you see people with pink hair. And you think, that looks so cool. I mean, people with pink hair are cool. You don't see anything wrong with it. And it just feels right. You know, but by looking at some of you, it's like, how do you know that's exactly what I'm thinking of? You know, you don't see anything wrong with that. And or maybe what you'll do, you'll watch television, you'll say, look at that entertainer, very successful, she has pink hair. And that person also helps the homeless. And they do all kinds of good things for society. So having pink hair doesn't stop people from doing good things. And then you'll probably even find Christians who will promote pink hair, which adds to your arsenal of arguments. And somewhere you'll even find a medical study that says pink hair is actually healthy for you, right? They have all those things. And that study was funded by the pink dye manufacturers of the United States. But anyway, so then you go to your parents with all of these arguments, and they still say no. Now, you know what that does? It puts stress within the home, right? Because you have an authority that says one thing, but inside you feel that's not right. And folks, that's how yielding to our culture, that's how yielding to our cultural influence works. That's how it works within a home and within our church. So what would be right in that case? Right? Your mom and dad say you can't have pink hair, but you've got all of this evidence saying pink hair is cool. What is the right thing to do? Well, the Bible does give clarity, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what you think about pink hair. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So it doesn't matter what evidence you have, if your mom and dad say don't do that, then to disobey is to go against God's word. But your culture will say, you've got to. You've got to be yourself. You can't restrain that inner you, that inner pink-haired you. That's what it says. If you're thinking, listen, and let me say, by the way, this is one of those things too. I don't mean to get off on pink hair, but the world itself, right? If you've watched any of the rebellions that are going on around the country, there are a group of unsaved people that will refer to the pink haired people, the pink and blue haired people. Right? What are they referring to? The people that are out there rioting and doing things like that. If I was a believer, oh, I am, I probably wouldn't want to be associated with something that would be anti-God, anti-Christ. That's just my opinion, okay? But if your thinking, if your personal thinking results in being disrespectful and disobedience to your parents, let me tell you something, that's not biblical thinking, no matter what you think about it. You can pretty much count on it being what? Cultural thinking. That's what the culture thinks. So, what do we have to do to be right before the Lord? We have to conform our thinking to God's revealed will in this world. And we have that in the Word of God. We do. And we say, that's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy. And folks, we've got principalities and powers that we can't even see, that we are wrestling with. And we've got a world system that is trying to press us into its mold. We've got worldly Christians that are urging us to be more progressive, right? Nobody likes fanatics, right? Nobody likes dinosaurs. Nobody likes that kind of stuff. We need to be more tolerant. We need to be less restrictive. And then we have our own flesh that compels us to do those things too. Our flesh is telling us, look, you need to satisfy your lustful appetites because you deserve it. Now, how can we possibly fulfill God's will in this world? Well, first of all, we need to remind ourselves of a very important thing that the Apostle Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 13 of Philippians 4, Paul makes this simple but very powerful statement where he wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's not even any big words in that, folks. Right? It's very, very simple. I can do anything through Christ. If God gives us instruction about something that our flesh says, oh, you can never do that, then you have to say, flesh, you're a liar. Because I can do all things through Him. I may not have it within myself to do it, but I can do it through Him. And any how can I question that you might have? How could I ever do that? I could never do that. I could never be that. I could never accomplish that for the Lord. All of those fit right into that category where Jesus said, no, you can do all things through me. You can do this in my strength. Well, Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, for without me, you can do nothing. Well, that's true. And you're absolutely right. I can't do this apart from Christ. But with Him, through Him, get this in your mind. This is by faith, by the way. With Him, through Him, you can do anything that He would lead you to do. Anything. As hard as you may think it would be. Because He is the one that provides the strength. That's glorious. In and of ourselves, we are weak. But when it comes to living for the Lord, when it comes to obeying Him and serving Him, He provides what is naturally lacking in us. We don't have the natural ability to be the kind of Christians we ought to be, right? That's why you had to be saved. Because there was no good thing in you. You had to believe what the Bible says about you and what Christ did for you to be saved and have the Holy Spirit indwell you. You had to do that. But when you get saved, He empowers us to do what we need to do. And folks, some of the things that we need to do is what He mentioned there in verses 13 and 14. Those are just some of those things. Do you want to think and behave counterculturally? Well, every believer ought to say, yeah. I do want to think counterculturally. I don't want my mind to be molded and my behavior to be molded by this world. I want to be molded by the Word of God. I want to behave according to the truth of the Word of God. Then, verse 13, watch ye. You've got to watch. Be on alert. It means to be awake and vigilant in watching your attitude. You know how quickly your attitudes can change? All you've got to do, you can have the greatest attitude and slam your little toe into the side of a coffee table. And guess what? Your attitude changes. You know, life is so good, and then all of a sudden you're in the depths of despair. Right? Because your toe got smashed. But you know what I'm talking about. Situations change. And by the way, who's in charge of all situations? God is. You know why God does that? To reveal things about Him and about you. We think that we've got it all together. We think that we're okay. You know, the worst place to be is confident in every step you take in yourself. Because you will miss something. You will miss something. He says, be on the alert. Be awake. Watching for the traps. Watching for the snares. I remember when I was a kid, I don't think kids are allowed to do this anymore, but when I was a kid, we had the whole neighborhood that we played in. Right. It was so cool. I mean, we ran all over the neighborhood, and we only did it at night. we would play army at night, right? And the parents hated this, but we would set up booby traps in everybody's yard. Right? And we knew where those booby traps were. You know, this is a bunch of boys, right? I mean, no offense, ladies, but it's a bunch of boys. They're digging holes. They're hanging rocks from trees and stuff like that, just hoping that the other side will trip the trap and somehow be hurt badly. Right? We never thought of long-term consequences. But the idea is that that we knew we were doing it, we also knew they were doing it. And so the knowledge of them doing it made us more aware of everywhere we stepped. Some of these guys got really very clever in some of the hurtful traps that we would fall into. And the point is that if you watched, though, you wouldn't get slapped by a tree that was bent backwards and tied. Right? If you saw the string and you were very careful, you were able to get rid of it so that the thing didn't come up and hit you. Right? I don't want to give you ideas and stuff. I know there's some boys or some guys here that would probably try it too. But the point is that what he's saying here is that we need to watch because of traps and snares. And as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, he said, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." I was reading the Berenstain Bears to my kids last night. And, you know, Father Bear, he's just a doof. And he was teaching his son how to ride a bike. And everything he did was wrong, right? He's given his son 7 lessons, and they were all wrong. And it always ended up being, this is what you should not do. Let this be a lesson to you, right? And so one of the things was, as he said, he was teaching his son how to ride and watch for signs. And it shows him driving over a cliff on the bike, right? And we laugh at that. We say, what a doof. I mean, he didn't even watch. That's what Paul's talking about. Walk circumspectly. Watch where you're going to place your foot because it may be a trap. You've got to be careful where you're going. You've got to look ahead, look up, look to the sides, look down. Be careful because your enemy, the devil, he's like a roaring lion. Roaring lions don't just jump out way in front of you, letting themselves know they're there, letting you know they're there. The Bible describes him as one that walks about hidden, seeking whom he may devour. He looks for the weakest. He looks for those that are lagging behind. Be watchful of that. He says, walk circumspectly, because when you don't watch where you walk, that's like foolish. That's how the fools walk. Wise believers walk circumspectly, which means that they walk very precisely. They watch their step. And so he tells us here to watch in verse 13. Watch in what? What's the next one? Stand fast in the faith. I'm telling you what, that's where your strength is going to be. Mm-hmm. And again, when we talk about the faith, we're not talking about our ability to believe. We're talking about what God says, how we behave, how we're to live. The faith is the combined word of God that we live by, that the Spirit of God gives us wisdom and how to apply to our lives. We need to stand fast because, folks, the world out there is trying to shake the foundation of your faith in God's word. It's trying to shake the truth of the word of God. It's trying to dilute and diminish what God says. And isn't that a tactic of the devil? Isn't that the first thing he said to Eve? Yea, hath God said? Eve says, I can't take that fruit. God said not to. And I could just see the devil kind of cock his head a little bit with a little smile and say, really? Did God really say that? Do you think God really meant that? Casting doubt on what God said. And folks, that he does the same thing today. The world tries to do it. The devil tries to do it. Your flesh wants you to do it. It wants to diminish and dilute the truth of God's word so as to satisfy our own flesh. But we've got to stand fast. Stand fast upon that truth. Don't allow yourself to be lured away from the biblical stance by the world, by the devil, and by your own flesh. And even worldly Christians. It's so difficult for Christians to live the way they ought to. There are so many adversaries out there. Stand firm. So we've got to watch. We've got to stand fast on the truth that we have. And then the next thing is new. He says, quit you like men. Now, we know in the context that he doesn't mean what? He doesn't mean quit. Right? He's not telling us to quit. Right? I mean, when you think of men, is that like a primary characteristic you think of? No. Well, maybe today, but when I was growing up, that's not how it was. Men didn't quit. Right? So what is he talking about? Well, the word quit here is just an archaic word. It's a 17th century word that, believe it or not, means behave like. That makes sense, doesn't it? Or act like. Well, that makes sense. So he's saying, watch, stand fast in the truth of the Word of God. And Corinthians, just act like men. Now, that can be kind of confusing today. Right? I mean, our world today, well, we live in a world that doesn't know what women are and doesn't know what men are. Right? So how do I act like this? Now, do I act like a man if I feel like a woman? Do I feel like a woman and act like a man? The world is filled with confusion. All right? When Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, he's talking about you need to behave like men are characterized to behave. Right? Act like a man. We live in a world today that tries to demasculate men. All right? To try to get men to maybe look at their feminine side more. Men don't have a feminine side.
Amen.
All right, I'm sorry. Well, Pastor John, scientifically, I don't think it is. I know that men are made of women too, but men don't have a feminine side. Fellas, don't go looking for it.
Amen.
All right, you'll just be confused. Right, men don't have a masculine side. We have men. And we have women, all right, biblically. And men have a role biblically, and women have a role biblically, right? He didn't say identify as a man. He said act like men. And by the way, I don't want to confuse you, he's talking to women too. He's not saying dress up like a man, right? He's saying, Christians, you need to display the character of true men of God.
Amen.
You need to display that character of true men of God. Now, folks, when we think of a man, do we still have, is there anybody that can still remember the characteristics of a man? You know, when I was growing up, my dad, you know, so many things would happen. And, you know, I'd go whining to my dad and he'd say, look, be a man about it. All right, Dad, what does that mean? Buck up. Right? You don't cry about stuff like that. Right? My mom could, but not me. Right? There's certain characteristics of a man. When we think about men and what Paul is talking about here, he's saying when times get tough, right? He's talking about warfare. Watch, stand fast in the truth, and you need to have the character of a real man. You've got to stand when everybody else wants to run. Right? A real man has integrity. A real man is honest. A real man is confident. A real man is courageous. I feel like a real man when I go outside and my wife is afraid to go out. And I'm not. Honey, why don't you come over here? Oh, I'm not going over there. Oh, I will. That's foolish, okay? But I mean, it's good to be courageous. If something happens, men, you need to be the ones that go out and look. Right? We shouldn't say, hey, honey, I heard a noise out in the backyard. You want to check that out? No. That's what real men do. Right? We get out there in the dark and we look. You know what real men do? They protect people. They lead people. They are men of integrity. They are respectful. They are responsible. And they are loyal and faithful. Right? These are things that are characteristic of a real man. And what Paul is saying is that you need to have those characteristics in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you are serving the Lord, there are going to be forces, both inward and outward, that are going to oppose you. They're going to cause you to, they're going to want to cause you to quit. But men don't quit. Real men don't quit. Real men stand firm, even if it's like putting one foot in front of the other and like you're trying to run through knee-deep mud, you just keep going, regardless of how hard it is. Because God is the one that sets the race before you. And He wants you to trudge on and keep on going. The world doesn't want you to act like men. And so the emphasis of that phrase, folks, is that men and women that are Christians need to be men and women of courage. That when we face our battles, it's in the strength of the Lord, determined to keep going on for Him. Drawn from what? The reservation of the reservoir of God's grace. That's what we have. You know, our enemies want us to quit fighting for God's kingdom. The devil wants us to grow weary in well-doing. Our flesh wants us to quit the struggle. But God says, be men and women of courage. Keep going on. I have a purpose for you. Keep going on. And as Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, fight the good fight. Our lives are fights. They're battles. If you're a Christian, you're in a battle. God doesn't say quit. He says fight. Fight the good fight. We're engaged in a war with the enemies of God. Don't be a traitor. Be courageous. Stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next command is similar to that last one, but not exactly the same. Look at the last two words of verse 13. Be strong. Isn't that what we need, folks?
Yes.
Have you ever felt weak?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were just zapped of strength? Mm-hmm. Could be a physical situation. It could be a very spiritual thing that you're dealing with. Ultimately, even physical issues turn into spiritual issues, right? Because of the way we respond to them. And so here he says, be strong. Now, what are the circumstances by which you might say that to somebody else? Right? If you saw a situation, what would that situation be like for you to say, hey, look, you need to be strong? Maybe you have a teenager that's going to take a test, and they're really concerned about the test. You might say something like, you know, study hard, be strong. You can do this, right? Emotionally, get yourself worked up. Or maybe you're at the gym, hypothetically, right? So hypothetically, you're at the gym, and you're bench pressing a lot of weight, and as you push and you blow and you yell, the guy that's spotting you might say, be strong. Keep pushing. You can do that. And in both of those circumstances, folks, what we're understanding people to say, when people generally tell you to be strong, what we generally understand them to be saying is, dig down, right? Dig down in the resources of your being and then draw up that strength from within that you need to take that test or to lift that weight or to face that employer or to make that risky move. Draw from within and be strong. Draw from your strength to accomplish that task. Isn't that what we normally think that people are saying when they say be strong? Well, that's not what Paul's commanding here. The verb for be strong, I'm getting a little academic here, but the verb for be strong, it's an imperative. What's an imperative? It's a command, right? It's a command. But this verb is a passive verb. And if you were as well educated as I am, you had no idea what that meant at one time. But I've come to know what it means. But we understand that the subject of an active verb does the action, right? An active verb, like I threw the ball, right? I'm the one doing the action. I threw the ball. The subject is doing the throwing. But in a passive verb, the subject doesn't do the action, right? The subject doesn't do the action. It is the thing that the action is done to, okay? And so, like, for instance, the ball was thrown. The ball wasn't doing the action. The ball had the action done to it. That's a passive verb. And so, so this verb, be strong, this command, is passive. It's a command not for the subject to do the action, but for the subject to let the action be done to him. Okay? Do you see the difference?
Yep.
And so we could say it like this. Be strengthened. Or allow yourself to be strengthened. The strength not coming from within, but coming from without. Right? Without yourself. Allow yourself to be strengthened. Folks, in the work of the Lord, our personal strength, that which we pull up from our own resources, is useless in spiritual service. It is. We don't have enough strength to fight against principalities and powers and to be able to think biblically the way that we ought to. We just don't have that kind of strength and power to hold up under the pressures of being a Christian yourself. We just don't have it. We're not strong enough to wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. We need strength from God. We need God to strengthen us by His grace. And for that to happen, we've got to submit ourselves to Him. We've got to submit ourselves to Him and humbly yield to Him so that He will strengthen us. He will give us. Folks, there's nothing better than letting God strengthen you.
Amen.
Because it's a strength that you can't experience by yourself.
Right.
No matter how much you try to pull up from within some strength to get through, it's nothing compared to the strength that God will give you.
Amen.
In accomplishing His work. And that way we know that it didn't come from us. Right? When we talked about this in Sunday school. You're in a difficult situation. You go to God and you say, God, I need your peace. And He gives you peace.
Right.
But He doesn't change your circumstance.
Right.
And we think, how does that happen?
Right.
I should be anxious. Right? I should be angry. But I'm at peace. Why? Because God does it. What happens when you experience that?
Wow.
Boy, I sure did that good. No. You say, thank you, Lord. I don't know why I have this peace, but you gave it. I couldn't have mustered it up myself. Thank you for that. He's the one that gets the glory for it. And so we need God to do that for us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. What are the last three words?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. And in the power of His might. So it's relying on Him. It's believing in Him to hold you up when you feel like sinking. And I'm telling you, if you are battling for the Lord, you know what it's like to feel like you're sinking. You know what it's like to feel weary in well-doing. Paul tells Timothy, this young pastor in 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where strength comes from. God's grace. And be assured of this, as James encourages us, that when we are fighting these battles and the enemy seems to be getting the upper hand, sometimes he does. Sometimes it seems that way. And you reason that it just might be better to concede, to surrender, to quit. James says, remember this in James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Remember this. When you've used up the grace that you asked for that moment, He'll give more.
Amen.
What do I have to do? Ask again.
Right.
Just keep asking. God, I've used up the grace again. I'm starting to feel kind of lowly here. And He giveth more grace.
Right.
That's His promise. How often do you ask? As often as you need it.
Right.
Right? It could be many, many times a day. Once a day, maybe in the good weeks, once a week. but sometimes many, many times a day. And you can count on it. Every time you ask, He's going to give it. Because He giveth more grace. When you need it, it's available in great abundance. And you've got to put away your own attempts to draw strength from within. Because that's a natural response. Right? That's why the psalmist has to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. That's Proverbs. Right? Proverbs 3:5. Yeah, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy might. Lean not into your own understanding. Your own understanding says, how are we going to get out of this? God says, no, don't think about that. Trust in God and let Him get you out of this, because He's going to give more strength. And we need to humbly pace ourselves. We need to place ourselves under God's security and His strength. And guess what? He will strengthen you. And it'll be miraculous. And you'll recognize, I didn't produce this. And you will glorify the Lord. Listen, spiritual strength comes from selflessness. It's self-sacrifice, self-denial, and self-discipline. That's what Paul's referring to here when he says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. If we humbly yield ourselves to Christ in faith, and we put ourselves in subjection to Him, this is a willful thing that we can do, and we must do every single day, then we will be, as Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, we will be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Folks, can we even fathom the power of God? Who created all things? Do you know the fact that you're breathing today and that your heart is pumping right now is an evidence that God's power is working in you? Do you know that scientists have no idea why your heart keeps pumping? They know it does, and they explain the issue about how that happens, but they don't know why perpetually it keeps going. Or why don't I have to tell myself, breathe? Right? I never worry about that, do you? I mean, maybe if you have an issue, you do, but I never worry about that. I never get home and think, oh, honey, you know what? I forgot to breathe today. You know, I was having a great day, and all of a sudden, I forgot to breathe. That never happened. How does that happen? I don't know. Right? Scientists will tell you what happens, but they don't know why it happens. I can tell you what happens. God does that. God is in control. He does that. And he that's His power. And God says, that's the same power that will be available to you when you're going through those struggles. I'll do that for you. I'll give you this grace. And we can say, like Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Folks, God wants to strengthen you. I don't know what your issues are. God does. And God has you here for you to hear this, that He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to be successful in your Christian walk. He wants you to be a vessel that can be used by Him. But He wants you to yield to Him and let Him strengthen you. Allow Him to do that. So again, look at verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, or don't quit like men. Right? Stand fast in the faith. Behave like men. And be strong in the Lord. And if you'll do that, then you'll have success in your Christian walk. But let me say this. The only way for us to be able to do these things is if we have already been saved by God's grace.
Amen. That's right.
The only way that you can receive this kind of power is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Where you have, as the Bible said, believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, or that you called upon the name of the Lord and He saved you, that you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. He's referring to you recognizing that before God you're a sinner and that you can't do anything to take care of that issue except believe on the work that Jesus already accomplished. To believe that he died and took care of your sin debt. When you do that, then the Spirit of God comes in. The grace of God is available. The mercies of God are available. And you have this power that he's talking about. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved, we want to be able to show you how to do that. It is the greatest decision you will ever make. It is the only decision that has super eternal consequences. It is the only decision you will make to ensure that when you die, you will be in the presence of God. Because the alternative is pretty bad news. If we don't believe on him, the alternative is that we will end up in the place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. And then hell, at the end, is dumped into a place called the lake of fire. Right? Awful, awful places. But God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and you can put your name there, whosoever believeth in him should not perish into everlasting fire. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life in the presence of God. What a glorious thought.
Amen.
What a glorious thought. And you can have that. When you have that, there's a multitude of other things that you'll have also. But maybe you've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you're struggling in some of these areas. I don't watch the way I ought to. I'm not standing fast, Lord, in the faith and in the truth of the Word of God. I'm just not where I ought to be. I don't have that resolve to keep on going when difficulties come my way. And I've just not allowed the Lord to strengthen me the way I ought to. Well, what God wants you to do is just confess that to him. Go to him and say, God, I failed in that area. That's why I'm struggling in this area. That's why in my Christian walk, I don't see the profit. I don't see the growth that I want to see. God, will you help me? And you can count on it. God will reveal to you what you need to do. That's what he's told us to do here. If we'll just embrace the truth of the Word of God, we will experience joy beyond measure, peace beyond measure, strength that you never thought you'd experience is at your fingertips as a believer in Jesus Christ. You just have to avail yourself of it. May God help us to go to Him and to embrace these truths. We are going out into a warfare, aren't we? Every day we wake up, we are part of a warfare. And just like that gunny would tell his soldiers, watch. Make sure you watch. Make sure you stand fast. Make sure you allow yourself to be strengthened. And get out there and fight like men. Just like he would say that to you, the Word of God is saying that to us. That we might bring honor and glory to God. Whatever your need is, won't you check us out? Won't you come up and say, look, I'm struggling in this area. We'd love to help you. Or you say, I'm not even saved. I don't know if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. We want to help you with that. So after we're done, if you have any questions, please come and see us. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us to adhere to these things. Help us to obey your commands. That we would be watchful, Lord. That we would recognize we are in a battleground. I do pray, Father, that you would help us to recognize you have given us sure footing in the truth of your word, that we would stand fast in it. And Lord, that we would behave like men that characteristically ought to behave, that we would yield ourselves to you and allow you to strengthen us. Lord, we know we can't accomplish these things apart from you. So help us to draw closer to you. Lord, if there are needs here today that need to be dealt with, won't you put an urgency in hearts that they might come and seek counsel and how to deal with it from your word. Lord, we love you so much. We do pray that as we go our ways this afternoon, that we would be mindful of this being the Lord's day, the things that we have heard from your word. May we be thankful for what you are, who you are, and what you have done. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us back again tonight. As we have opportunity to worship you, to testify of your goodness and to look more into your word. Lord, we will give you the glory for all that's done. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.